times when you look at things like Confucius and some of those Eastern philosophers and stuff like that. That looks so much that it's not passed down into their own
talk about.
And then so much of the history we have is because fantastic enough that we
Here we are.
Here we are. Welcome to another episode of the Joe and Doug Show.
I'm glowing less, by the way.
Glowing less.
Yeah. This is try number two. We had some technical failure here, and I'm feeling protesting.
It's okay. Round two, fight. Joe, we didn't get to record last Thursday because Joe was in Texas, and he was beaming from ear to ear to be at Texas. I was literally, every picture you posted, every post you made, I'm like, just the 12-year-old fangirl on the inside of Joe was coming out at every turn. He got invited to a special thing at a Tesla factory. So how did that come about? How did you get invited to that?
So it went late on Wednesday when I was closing up shop here. I've got a message from someone at Tesla, and they asked me if I happened to be in Austin. And I said, no, I'm in Ohio. And they said, well, we're doing the Gigafactory grand opening tomorrow, and we'd like to invite you if you can be here tomorrow by 4 o'clock. And I said, okay, I'll see if I can be here by 4 o'clock. So I called my wife, asked Deb, hey, do you mind if I go to Austin tomorrow? Without hesitation, she was like, yeah, go to Austin. And this sucks that I have to explain this for the second time through.
This story's good, though. Like, right, the reason you got there, though, is you sowed a seed out
there. I did.
Which is cool.
So a year before, a guy was lost his job in Southern California, and he didn't have a job prospect in Texas, but he knew this whole Tesla and SpaceX things were happening there. So he started traveling, and he posted some of his ventures traveling across to go to Tesla to try to get a job here. And I sent him some money in the blind, you know, saying one from one dreamer to the other. And he remembered me, put me on the list, and I got that invite. Boom. So,
and here's the whole thing, though. It wasn't like you sowed that seed going to it. One day he's going to invite me to the Tesla factory. You just were like, hey, I want to do a nice thing for this guy. And you probably, you know, probably was back around in the back of your head, and you weren't thinking like, oh, one day this is going to boomerang back. But when you release those seeds out, some of them take root and they grow up and they give you fruit.
Yeah, I do feel a little bit bad, though, because I was like, what if this person like wants to cut my skin off and wear a skin suit or something like that? So for a moment I thought, am I doing an unsafe
thing? Put the lotion
thing?
In the basket, yeah, Joe. Right? Put the lotion in the basket, okay? No, that's great.
I hit you with one of those every
you do time. You do and, yeah and for those of you who don't know the movie reference, it's okay. So you get a flight, and did you upgrade or did you fly?
No, I'm a Southwest person, so okay. I
love Southwest.
I am comfortable with their protocol, and so I felt right at home.
Totally. We've flown with Southwest a bunch, and I will never forget, and I always tell this story because it was some of the best customer service I've ever experienced was with Southwest. They actually, we were flying from Pittsburgh to Florida for vacation. I think it was 2018, and our plane took off. We had all four kids with us. We got through security, got on the plane, and the plane takes off, and then all of a sudden, like, we have to turn back and go back to the airport, and I'm like, all right. You know, they have four little kids, and our kids were rock stars. They were awesome. And we get off the plane and stuff, and we find out we hit a bird and like you could see the hole in the wing. Yeah, it was crazy. I have pictures. I'll show you afterwards. But so we land and we're like, oh, thank God they did that. Honestly, when we were in the plane, it felt like the landing gears got stuck. Like you felt it hit the plane and you were kind of like, that's not normal. And people were getting a little nervous and they were like, we're going to turn back right now. And then, they did a little circle, they landed. And then we had to wait like 4 or 5 hours. They couldn't send that plane back up. There was no way to repair it. I mean, there was a hole with the bird hanging out all bloody, the side of the plane. Well, Southwest comes out and, they were like, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to handle everything. If you could make a line, they were perfect with it. Here are food vouchers for you and your family. And, they gave us like $1,500 in flight vouchers for us to use at any time over the next 12 months and took care of the flight we were on. Like they were just, we're going to take care of this. We're going to make it right. It wasn't even their fault. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't like their pilot got stuck in Maryland and couldn't get there. Like the goose hit the plane. Like if there was one time that could be like, you know what? Sorry, this is an act of God. And they could totally pawn it off, but they owned it. And while we were sitting at the airport, we got the email with the flight vouchers, an apology from them. They came around and made sure we were okay. And they did that not just for us, but you know, there was an older couple and stuff like that. And some people switched their flights and got on different, decided, hey, I'm going to go here and then jump over there. But we waited like 5 or 6 hours and they brought us donuts from Dunkin' Donuts. And we're like, here, we want to, you know, your kids are so well behaved. Like, it was really like over the top. For you sure. know, most of the time when you're in an airline experience, the people that are serving you are annoyed at you for having to serve you. And this was totally different. I actually sent Southwest an email saying what a tremendous experience it was and thanking them so much. And, you know, from this point on, if we can fly Southwest, we've tried to do that just simply because it was such a great experience. I was like, I'll pay an extra $50 for the flight or whatever, right, because I had such a great experience. But that's not what we're talking about today. Well, Southwest is great.
Yes. And you know, since I bought my tickets around 12 hours before it was actually taking off, I was in like boarding group R, right?
So, boarding group double Z.
So I
you have to sit on the toilet.
I was referring to myself as a middle seat Joe, right?
Okay.
I knew I was getting a middle seat no matter what.
It's the worst.
And those suck really bad. But I'll tell you, like on the way down there, even though I was like within inches of another human being, like I didn't say one word to any other human being. Like not only did they not want to talk to me, I did not want to talk to them at all.
Network, Joe, network. This is what we're working on.
I thought
on.
Of you again. Like, you were there with me no matter what.
Every preacher has a good, hey, I was on a plane and I met this person.
Yeah.
Every good communicator, you know, when you start in speaking business, you're going to be, hey, I was flying to da 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 and I met this guy and look at this, you know, scenario. So
on the way back, though, I talked to people.
Oh, who'd you
I
talk to?
I got window seats. So here was this was kind of cool. So
we're like, going to get to the Tesla conversation, but this is big.
I was thinking like, okay, person sitting next to me, what's my opening line here? What do I even say? Like, what, you know, I'm not small talker. So I'm like, do I wait till something happens? Like, what do I bring up? And so I was like, you know what? I'm not in the middle seat. Let's bring middle seat up. And I was like, hey, I want to let you know that I'm usually the one in the middle seat here and I'm not right now. So sorry about your luck. That kind of a thing. It was stupid, corny, whatever, but boom, it got the fire.
They
lit,
giggled right? or whatever.
Yeah. Right. And so she was actually a neuroscientist that was also at the Tesla thing for his other company for Neuralink. And so she talking about the sciences and physics and Neuralink. And I'm like, woo!
Jackpot for Joe. Daddy needs a new pair of shoes. You know? Right. That's cool. So you fly down there and you arrive. What time was everything? Did you get to do anything unique or special, or was it just kind of a whole bunch of people?
So I got on the ground and in a rental car at about 11:30, and the first event was 1:00. So I stopped and just grabbed something to eat. I went to Whataburger.
Whataburger.
It must be a Southern thing. don't have Whataburgers up here, but it's sort of like a shittier version of Burger King. Like, it wasn't great. It was not a.
Well, Burger King, if you're going to rank fast food, Wendy's, McDonald's, Burger King.
Yes, right. And this is right below that.
Below that. Okay. Yeah.
So I disassembled the burger and ate a couple of beef patties, and it was okay. It kept me alive for next couple hours. And then they opened up the parking lots. And the thing about it, like, this event was massive. Like, if you guys don't know about Tesla, they don't spend any money on marketing. They do this kind of stuff as in place of their marketing. So they go over the top on everything.
That's true. I've never seen like a Tesla commercial or.
Nope. Doesn't have to. All they do is create fanatics about it. The people like me who on a, you know, dime's notice go down to Austin and show. Anyway. I got there at 1:00. We got parked, went in for the employees luncheon. They set up all of these food trucks that had all kinds of different foods, everything from traditional steaks to burgers to Mexican food. And they gave you food vouchers and you just went around and ate whatever you felt like. And
so you should have skipped the Whataburger and eaten more.
Had I known.
So you got to do that, and did you meet the employees, or was it different?
Yeah,
or?
A couple people. I mean, this was definitely younger line workers and social media managers and whatever. So there wasn't a whole lot of stuff to talk about, but everybody was in awe about this place, how automated it was, how high tech it was, how fast it was, and they had no problem showing off what it is that they did. The one guy was in charge of the robots that did the castings.
Okay.
So he basically controlled all the programming that went into the castings. So I had 1.5 billion questions for him about this and that. Like, how many of these, you know, how exact are they? How much product do you have to, you know, start again and whatever. Wow. And it was just, I'm so impressed with this company having seen it than I even was before.
Wow. That's high praise. So you had the employee lunch and you got to eat some, I think you said
Mexican food.
Yep. And then you went on an open tour. Was it a guided tour? Did they walk through and say, like, they, this
basically
is...
you just, this place is massive. Like, I can't like even put into thousands words.
Of square feet.
Millions of square feet. And so like just when you thought you reached the end, like you didn't even get to a corner of it. So there was even so much more.
Turn your Apple Watch on again.
And then once you do the first floor, there's three floors of this crap. So it's not like it's big. I mean, it's massive.
And what model Tesla do they make there?
They make the Model Y. That's where they're producing actually right now.
And is that a car, an SUV?
SUV.
SUV.
Yeah. Okay. It's their lower end SUV.
Nice. And then you put some pictures of a truck.
Yeah, Cybertruck.
So they make a truck too?
They do. And this is a very futuristic, very cyborg, very steampunk type of truck.
Did you order one while you were there?
Oh, I've already ordered one. I've been on the order list. The one thing I the one thing that I did was the first production car that they made was the Tesla Roadster. It was their supercar.
Okay.
Right? And they used that to finance the Model X first off, because the Model X was a high production run. They didn't have the money to do it. So they
was your first Tesla that you bought?
The Model 3.
So you have the Model 3, and then you also have
the Model X.
Model X, and then now you will have a
Cybertruck when it eventually produced. Okay. And then I was eyeballing their supercar, the Roadster. I just tested. I was like, "Hey Deb, here's the supercar," and she was like, "Yes, please." And I'm like, "I don't have to ask permission anymore." She let me go to Austin. She let me buy the supercar, but no, I didn't. I won't buy that for a while.
Okay. Nice. So. And what's the difference between the supercar and your current model?
It's meant to be a sports car. It's a two-door convertible, 0 to 60 in like 1 second. I mean, it's off the charts, but it's 250K. So I'm not quite ready to go that.
No, very cool.
But I got the green check mark next to it for my wife, so I'm good.
Put it on the vision board. It'll be there, and we'll go cruising. Oh, that's sweet. So you went on the tour. You got to see all what they do. What are some of the, you know, obviously you talked about the casting. What else did you get to see in the robotics? What was some of the stuff that you were just blown away by?
They demonstrated every segment of it. So like the battery segment demonstration was kind of cool because they, for a while, they were buying all their battery packs from Panasonic.
Okay.
Right? And it's really hard to get lithium right now. When it's hard for them to source parts, they just invent a company that does that. So if Panasonic can't make enough, they just do it themselves. And so we watched their new battery. Like, think of like a D cell battery, and a whole battery pack made of D cell batteries. 1,500 of those are individual in my car right now. Wow. So they made a bigger version of that that's about twice the size of a D cell battery, and they cut it down to 500 individual batteries in that battery pack. And I posted a picture of these ribbon looking things. That was sort of like a battery unwound, right? And so it was just this, what is the composition of one of their batteries? So I took a huge fascination because, you know, the popular trend is all these lithium and really rare earth metals from places that are really hard to get out of the ground in a clean way, and they're super expensive. Lithium went from like $17,000 per ton to $79,000 per ton.
Ooh.
It had a sevenfold increase in value with all of everything that's going on.
The geopolitical stuff and everything. Yeah.
If a seven time value, like it used to be a battery pack was $15,000. Now the battery pack seven times that, you got a $100,000 battery pack. That's before you even have a car.
Wow.
Yeah.
So are there obviously the car has to increase in cost then. So the cars are starting to increase in cost.
Well, what they did was they found a non-lithium, I can't think of the metal, in Minnesota. And so they changed their battery production. Instead of so much lithium, they went in a different direction, another metal that we can get right here from the United States. USA.
Awesome. Yeah. Love that. So you had the tour from Florida.
Yeah, we did that. It took every bit of 2 hours to wander aimlessly through that place.
Cool. And then you left and flew home?
No. There was a whole party from that point. So they had a band that came out. They did merchandise. Like, it was sort of like when you wandered around this place, it was in the imagination of a genius's mind, where you would just walk through like a cactus forest in the middle of the plant, right? And why a cactus forest? Who freaking knows, right? But they found a way to have fun in a cactus forest. But there's a lot of stuff to do. They did a tattoo booth. And instead of
you could get it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Henna.
No. lasers. So you put your arm in the laser.
Did you get one?
No, no. Like, I love lasers and I love tattoos, but not ready for that. Yeah.
What would you get if you got a tattoo?
I don't know.
Tesla?
No, I will not do that to my body. I love them, but not that.
I mean, you can get it somewhere discreet, like your right butt cheek or something. Get like a Tesla logo.
Yeah. and so, funny. Yeah, we stayed until about midnight. And then the guy that I helped.
That's cool.
And then so I actually stayed at his house. I was planning on staying at a hotel, but I wanted to push the limits of whether or not I was going to be, you know, a skin suit or not. So I stayed with the guy that put me on the
list. And how was that?
It was great. Yeah. They were a family that does a lot of fostering. And so I had a million questions about, you know, what Deb and I like to do. So
that's so cool. So talk about, like, you know, sowing a seed, receiving the blessing back, not just of going to the place that, you know, tickles your fancy, but you get to meet the person who you sowed the seed to, and they do some stuff that you want. That's a setup from.
Do you
the
see
Lord.
That? That's like an orchestra, like a whole symphony of what's supposed to happen.
Yeah, that's so cool.
And so, like, you know, I think sometimes when one of these opportunities like this doesn't make a lot of whole sense to how it came together, you know, very unlikely that it would happen. But how willing, like, my faith is to just go with it no matter what. Yeah. I had a lot of time to think about, like, how many people really would like those kind of opportunities. Mm-hmm. But because I'm so impulsive about jumping on some of those faithful things, I accept the ones that I know are going to be painful just as much as the ones that are going to be, you know, really enjoyable.
Do you find yourself, when those opportunities come, ever just in a space in your own head, like, how did this happen? Like, do you ever find yourself in awe of, like...
I used to, but both trying to figure out how they happened and trying to find out why they happened, like, I stopped thinking about it because they're so outlandish.
You're just like, thank you, let's go.
Yeah, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, keep churning out whatever those impulses are, and that's the result.
Express some gratitude and keep
that's
going.
Exactly right.
Yeah, because it's true, because you can get into that headspace. I've had a series of opportunities this year, particularly. I mentioned to you, and you know, I was telling the board last night at my board meeting, I have this opportunity. I'm going to get to go to the Israeli embassy coming up here in DC for stuff. And I'm just like, I keep looking about and trying to figure out how or why or any of that stuff is just like, I just need to say thank you and
pack
a suit and go, you know, kind of deal. And so,
and you know, I think too about it, like when you're on that pursuit, I was thinking about like, what this is supposed to be, who I'm supposed to meet, what I'm supposed to make of this. I'm like, what if none of that happened? What if this is a trip where you just have to go there and you can't figure out why? You got to be okay with that too.
Well, because some of those things, it'll be 10 years from now and you'll go, well, that's why I met this person and that's why I ended up there and that's why I ended up there. And, you know, who knows, you know, maybe you and Elon will be chilling on his yacht and he'll be, Joe, this is what we're going to do. You're going to run Twitter for me.
Well, I will be in the VIP spaces next time, not just the regular one.
And so this whole thing was, did it cost to go or did they just,
the invitation was free. I just had to find a way to get there. So
beautiful.
Yeah.
That's really, really cool. So if someone was, cause I hear this a lot. And so we'll go in this direction a little bit, you know, buying a Tesla is very expensive. And I know you did a whole breakdown on how much you save in gas and all that. We've talked about that before. And I know you're a fan, but if you're looking at buying a Honda versus a Tesla, what are the, for you who is Tesla through and through, what are the advantages? Why would you do Tesla again and again and again 100 times over?
So the model is that there are certain products that you can buy that sort of like are a net gain.
Okay.
Right. So they're more expensive if you take it from the literal upfront cost, but over the length of whatever you buy. So if you bought a $700 refrigerator that you have to replace every five years versus a $2,000 refrigerator that would last forever, like there's a point where you get big returns on having gone the one that was more expensive.
Right.
When you divide it out, it's not quite as expensive. It almost ends up being the same thing. So if you don't want to ever replace a refrigerator, you buy the one that's going to last so you don't ever have to replace one, even if it costs five times as long. And that's sort of what the Tesla math is. If you have the ability to buy ahead, right, then it, you know, there are certain things within that Tesla that end up paying a larger return in the end.
No, that makes sense. And so you have Cybertruck. You're on the list for that. Is there an expected date for the Cybertruck?
It was supposed to be this year. And after being there, they said that they were like the Tesla or the Cybertruck line isn't even built yet. They don't even have the materials to build it. So he said basically the beginning of 2023 is when they go in production. And mine, I ordered late, will not be the first off the production line. So okay. It might be every bit of 2025, 2024 before I see my Cybertruck.
Now, and is there, you know, from a Cybertruck, you know, I think truck, I think Ford, you think that I know it looks a little different. Maybe we'll have to post a picture or something like that. So it's sleek, but you know, does it haul stuff? Does it have a hitch? Does it?
Yeah.
You know?
And they try to take your normal F-150 and tried to make it like if there's a guy in a construction crew and he uses it for these purposes, make it capable of the same kind of stuff. So it doesn't have the same finish. It's all stainless steel. So there's no paint on it. And so it's like a stainless steel kitchen sink or whatever. Okay. It's supposed to hold up over the elements a little bit better to dents and dings and whatever. They got the glass that breaks.
the bulletproof glass that breaks. Yeah,
totally. And then they have the bed that locks so that if you put stuff in, and it has haul weight. So you can carry a trailer or whatever. It's got 500 miles of battery range. So it's significant.
That's pretty cool. So to switch gears a little bit, but we'll stay in the Elon Musk territory because I have to ask about this because it's awesome. So your boy bought 9.2%, the largest Twitter shareholder, buys that, is offered a seat at the table, and is told that he can have the seat at the table as long as he doesn't, or group, or him personally, exceed 14.9% of ownership, to which he declines the seat.
Yes.
And everybody, all the articles I'm reading, everybody said, get ready for a hostile takeover. Elon's going to buy 51%, whether he personally offers to buy the shares of other shareholders or whether he puts a conglomerate together to offer them, you know, a lion's ransom, you know, king's ransom for their shares. What do you see with all that? Why is he doing that? Is it just a publicity stunt? Does he really want to run Twitter? I don't know. What are your thoughts?
So my boy is a little compulsive and impulsive like I am. And so wherever his fancy is, like wherever his gaze is when he sees a problem, he's thinking, yeah, I could fix it. And he's thinking more about the time he would have to spend to fix it versus how he can affect it. And this is one of those ones where all he had to do was shift some money around and people would listen to him. So he has the money to shift around. He's got hundreds of billions of dollars and all it cost him was $2 billion to have a say in something that he tweets a lot. I don't know if you follow him.
He thinks it's very important. Yeah.
And so the second part of the board is more meaningful to me, which is the first one is that you couldn't own more than 14%. But the second one is that you couldn't do anything or say anything that would go in the disinterest of the Twitter model.
Yeah.
So you could not vote or have an idea that would hurt the Twitter model and how they operate. So all the things he wants to do hurts the Twitter model. So there's no way he could have taken that board seat.
Interesting. So then do you think he'll go up to 51%?
I don't think he needs to. I think this was the flex to know that there's enough open shares on the market that if he wanted, the threat of doing it is just as effective as actually doing it. I think people are going to take a listen to him anyway, even with his majority share, because here's the thing, like he can vote with his shares. Like he can become an active deal and not just on the board, but he can be an active shareholder. And then knowing that he could just buy enough shares to make his vote count more than any others is enough.
Oh, that's so awesome.
It's a big muscle.
So the best article I read through this whole thing, we love the Babylon Bee. So the CEO of the Babylon Bee got a call from Elon Musk because their Twitter account had been suspended. And he called them to see if it was actually true. So like you can imagine, the Babylon Bee is a pretty prominent social media organization, but you're not anticipating a call from Elon Musk, one of the wealthiest people in the world. And he called to see if it was in fact true. And the CEO from Babylon Bee said the last thing that Elon said to him, he's like, we're going to see what we have to do about this. I might just have to buy Twitter. And 2 days later, he bought 9.2% of Twitter. Yep. And I'm like,
Don't be surprised. So, this section I'm going to cut out specifically as my idea of how you fix Twitter. And I'm going to cut this version out.
Yeah, let's do it.
And I'm going to post it up to Twitter, up to his Twitter feed and tag Elon Musk on it. So here's my idea. The big objection with Elon is that Twitter is the public square. It has to be respected as something
public square.
That you go there and you can say whatever you want and there's nobody, as long as you follow the rules and you get your permit and you're allowed to be there, what comes out of your mouth is not something that will kick you out of the square. So here's my idea. Twitter the function, Twitter the platform owner becomes a tagging company, okay? So here's how it works. we want to model this after a decentralized, like a crypto type of thing, mm-hmm. where it's an agreement system where if people say that something is something, cool, they tag it, right? It's tagged. You don't get to delete it. You don't get to remove it. You don't get to edit it. All you can do is add a piece of information that describes what something is. Mm-hmm. So me as a user, I have a little panel on the side of my Twitter feed that says, here are all the appropriate tags. The things you don't want to see, put a check on. And then everybody just goes around marking things of what they are. So if something is mean, there's a little mean tag. And if I, as a user, don't want to see mean things, I hit the little mean thing. And then all the things that have been appropriately agreed on as mean disappear. And I don't have to see it. Mm. So Twitter doesn't decide anything. All they do is give ability to users to be able to classify things and then have the preferences. So hate speech is a big one. No one wants to see hate speech, or do they? Right. Sure. If you want to see hate speech, the public square is open to everything, no matter what it is. Even if I don't like it, doesn't matter. It's not up to me. I don't have to go and see it if I don't want to.
Yeah. It's the, you know, equivalent of, you know, if you don't want to, you don't like my t-shirt, well, don't look at it. Or you don't like my whatever, you don't have to attend that party or that event or whatever. You know, it's one of those things that I think a lot of people, don't understand, and it seems like something really simple that we should get, that at the end of the day, you know, what people say, they can say whatever they want. They should be able to say whatever they want, right, whether that's Twitter, Facebook, etc. And this idea that it has to agree with who is the problem. So whoever's in charge, whether it's right or left, it tends to be more left controlling a narrative rather than allowing just open debate and open free market for stuff like that. Well, it's damaging. Well, says who? I mean, that's really what it boils down to. People are like, well, it's dangerous. Well, says who? And that's where you start getting into, well, you're appealing to authority in that sense. So who's the authority that gets to dictate and determine those things? If the principle's the authority, then I'm cool with that.
Yeah, truth should be the authority. Exactly. And if something is reason, like you, the questions are usually like if they gang up on you,
sure,
and a bunch of the mob goes and say everything you say is hate speech, then everybody who has clicked the hate speech thing, you can't see that. But the thing is, if you want to put the energy of Twitter to find truth, right, that's what they would do, is they would find those mob things and figure out how the algorithm sorts through things that are like mob-like. If all of your stuff came from like 10 people, mm-hmm. right, then it's probably not truth, but it came over millions of people. What are the chances that you can get a million people to say Doug's stuff is hate speech?
Yeah. Do you think that a system like that will end up putting people in more of an echo chamber than anything else?
But you know what? We've done this over a period of time. Yeah. I used to frequent a message board that was, they had a group for libertarians, they had a group for Republicans and Democrats, and then they had a no holds barred section. Right?
Nice.
So you'd go to your little
place. That's where I would hang out, though.
That's exactly right. You'd go to your own, and you're like, this is
boring.
Whatever. Let me go over there. And that's where everybody ended up tangling. And then everybody would like have refuge and go back and have like their meetings about it. But they go out into the no holds barred thing. So that's what humans do.
Interesting. Yeah. No, that's fascinating. I'm excited to see. I saw, you know, Twitter initially jumped like 20% when his announcement came on the stock market. So I'm interested to see if he makes a couple more bold plays with it and some changes come and a new CEO or some new parameters or whatever. It'll be very interesting to see what happens with the market share. And for, you know, people like the former president, President Trump, and others that are talking about starting these new social media things, like I've been on Getter. It's basically a Republican Twitter. I mean, more or less. And so to have like the actual free market town square available to everybody again, I think would be huge.
Now, would you advocate that? Here's my plight here. When Elon uses that Twitter has become the town square, right? Twitter is a private company, so it isn't the town square.
Sure.
But because people use them like the town square, it's almost like we took them from what was public and they have final say on, to we have to drag them and now force them to do public square things, even though they're a private company, versus saying, let Twitter go do whatever it wants. And if a public square is needed, then let's make a public square and not force a company. I don't want to tell Twitter what they have to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I think this is the tension, though. You've had so much regulation already. And the reason somebody like Elon steps in is Twitter, Facebook, all of those were private companies and they functioned in a free and open market. But then, you know, through certain legislation, certain being drugged before congressional committees on both sides, right and left, have drugged them there. You know, they've done certain things to protect their interests because they're a private company. Sure. So they're saying, well, they're going to investigate us and we're going to have to spend millions of dollars in legal fees. Well, I guess we're going to have to do this so that they get off our back.
Right.
So I understand exactly what you're saying. And my preference would be for everybody to just leave everybody alone. That's always my preference with the government. Just leave me alone. Stay out of my life. You know, and I think that's the issue, is that there's already been a push on them that took them. I mean, realistically, when Facebook started and when Twitter started, they were very much just an open public square. People said crazy stuff on some of the things and the inappropriate stuff. I mean, they had huge issues with pornography and all that sort of stuff. You know, Instagram, all of that in the beginning, they had to figure out, you know, some of that stuff, you know. But as you get into that, again, you start limiting some things, you end up limiting.
Yeah. Like where, I mean,
where's the line?
You don't want someone to walk up to it and see girly pics up
there
because they'll stop using your service.
Correct. So you have that tension, but if you allow them to be a private company without government pressure on them, and that's the thing, is government's already exerted themselves, both left and right want it to their advantage. And so they use the congressional committees and they use legislation and they use tax dollars and they use all this stuff to force them to do what they want. And so that's the issue. And so when Elon says that Twitter is the public square, I think they really were. And they were and the same thing with, you know, Facebook and MySpace. And you go back and look at some of that stuff, like it was not regulated. It was not, and it was an open forum and you could have at whatever you needed to do. And then realistically, as time's gone on, they've been pushed into the spot that they're in. And you have political agenda and you have people trying to get on boards and all this sort of stuff, right or left, to try and balance it out so that it could be, quote unquote, what it was. And then you have other people like, well, I'm just going to make a new one. And so it's an interesting predicament because the libertarian in me is like, well, just leave them the heck alone and they'll sort things out.
And that's the thing. Like, I trust the pendulum swings as long as it has the ability that if someone doesn't like something, they can do a bunch of things that offset it, make it go in the other direction. And then maybe you never get to a place where it's either one thing or another. It's just a tension between those two sides.
Yeah. I mean, either way, whether Twitter remains the way that it is or, you know, fully opens back up and they allow certain things, like, you know, it's ridiculous to me that on Twitter you have like the Ayatollah in Iran, you have terrorist organizations that are able to be on Twitter spouting total nonsense and just horrible stuff, and you don't like some of the stuff the former president said and he can't be on there. Like, to me, that's insane. And there's no consistency. And that's the whole thing, is like, you know, if there was consistency in the rules, and that's been the frustration, I think, through everything, you know, rules for thee and not for me kind of deal. And that's what bothers us with our government, it bothers me. I'll say I won't speak for Joe, but it bothers me when you watch those making the rules not have to abide by the rules. It's frustrating.
Yeah, that's a big one. And I see that all the time, even dealing with, you know, governments and just the ability to have.
Well, people hate it in their job, right? Sure. When the boss makes a rule and then the boss doesn't have to abide by the rule, everybody's like, well, what the heck? And that's on a micro level. If you work in an employee of 10 people and he's like, you know, your boss gets up and says, well, you know, everybody, we have to use the break room this way. And if you're not going to do that, you can't use the break room. And then he's going to leave his old food in there. And you're like, wait a second, I can't leave my food in there. But you, like, I get you're the boss. And sometimes that comes with certain privileges because you pay for the space. But don't go making a decree from on high that you're not willing to then lead the way.
It's everywhere. It's not just in these spaces. So, for instance, if I was sitting in the audience and, you know, I'm sitting in a comedy show and the comedian up there says something about my wife's hair, and I go up on stage and I slap him, right? Let's compare what happened with what would happen had it been me. Same setup where they would just allow me to wander back to my seat and maybe even pick up an award later. Probably not. I would go to jail immediately.
Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
So if there's a consistency in application of all rules, that means we have too many laws, too many rules. If you can't universally apply them to everyone.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, if you you've got power and privilege with what you have.
Sure.
And, you know, I try to also be really fair and be objective when it's application, because it's not taken kindly when you don't. When you pick a favorite and you give people, you know, asterisks next to those rules, it makes everybody else not want to follow the rules. You ever been put in any positions like that?
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, all the time?
it's interesting in the church world. It's always the people that, you know, have been there for 40 years or whatever. And they think, well, like, I don't have to do that. I've been here this long. And I'm like, I don't know. We're asking everybody to do this. Yeah. But you don't have to have me do that. You know, Pastor Mike deals with that with worship team. Like, people come in and be like, oh, I'm a really good musician. Like, that's fine. Everybody auditions. Because your mom might have told you that you can sing well, but she might have lied to you. Yes, like, you know, so
I've heard Simon Cowell a bunch of times.
Well, but you know, you look at that, and everybody wants to be the exception to the rule.
Yeah.
And as a leader, sometimes it's nice when you have flexibility to do that, and there are some spaces where that's appropriate. But more often than not, it's going to hurt you in the long run when you make those exceptions.
You want to hear the most a very consistent application? Did you hear about Michael Jordan? So he went to a golf course down in Florida, mm-hmm. and he wore cargo shorts.
Oh.
And at the golf course, they don't allow cargo shorts. And Michael Jordan was kicked off of the course just like anybody else.
Wow.
And the public was like, well, wouldn't you want Michael Jordan on your course? And I'm thinking,
we would, just not in cargo shorts.
Right? You can go get a pair of pants down the road. And
Or the pro shop. I'm sure they had them.
Right.
Well, he is tall. Might have been tough.
But think about the guy that had to walk up to Michael Jordan and say, excuse me, Mr. Jordan.
Can you sign this? And could you leave the golf course?
I kicked out Michael Jordan.
Yeah, that'd be a story to tell your friends. That's so funny. Well, I love Elon because he is he likes to stir things up, and he's a free thinker, and he's a rule breaker, and he does stuff that with common sense, and he's willing to experiment, and he's willing to own his stuff, and you know, I have a ton of respect and appreciation for that. I'm sure there's stuff that he believes that or things that he's tried that I'm like, you know, I may not agree with, but I love a lot of what he's doing and the way he's stirring things up and the way he's using his wealth for some good things.
Yeah. And I always get this question posed to him that with his position and his wealth and what he has access to, why doesn't he just solve kind of a societal problem?
Did you see that tweet he made? That was great.
Yes. And so like, it's often like anytime he does something, he's like, hey, the Mars is cool, but why don't you do ... and fill in your favorite, you know, charitable event. I watch the dude because I know in some respects, if he picked that thing, he could probably solve it. Mm-hmm. It would take all of his resources. It would take all of his time, and it'd probably be pretty short lived because a lot of the stuff they ask him to fix would be, he'd fix it temporarily, but because he doesn't control everything else that's connected to it, it would just go back and now he'd have nothing and he wouldn't be able to affect anything else. Yeah. So it would be a weird position to have the ability to do a good and know that you really can't, you're restrained, because that would be your martyr moment where you wouldn't be able to do anything else from that point on.
Well, and the tweet I just was referring to is somebody said, like, why don't you cure world hunger or something like that? And he basically tweeted out and he said, if you provide a dollar for dollar budget or whatever from the UN hunger thing or whatever, he goes, I'll pay for it if you say it's going to work, but I won't give a penny more of you know, something like $6 billion or something like that.
He did it though.
And did he give that money?
So they gave them the line by line, and there was a couple exchanges back on Twitter. He sold enough stock to send it, and he sent it there.
Really?
So now world hunger is no more.
Yeah, you don't have to
you don't have to worry about it.
Wow. Well, we'll find out.
Find out. This is the last you'll hear about.
Yeah. But stuff like that, where he's willing to put his money where his mouth is. And even when it was where somebody else's mouth was, he was like, well, fine, send me the line by line budget item. You're telling me I can solve world hunger with the UN budget, whatever. Send it. We'll pay for it.
And that's the thing. Anytime you get, you know, consolidated wealth in a person or a government or whatever, they're not capable of solving those problems. All they can do is they can throw money at it and they can feel better about it, but they can't solve it. Solutions happen, that cultural thing on a city and a township basis where you know, it's your neighbor you're talking about, not some nameless guy in Minnesota.
Yeah. Well, I like Elon. You like Elon. Yes. You got to be a Tesla. This was a cool episode. Maybe Elon will see this. Tesla will see it. Hope you do. It's awesome.
There we go.
And I will see you on Thursday.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook